Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
And we said that on second half of 2021, one strategy that is worth revisiting and living out the rest of the year is prayer. As such, over the course of the last 3 weeks, we started a series on prayer, starting from Matthew 6, verse 9, where Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray," referencing what is known as the Lord's Prayer. The short message from Christ, we find, is one of the most effective, if not the most effective prayer you could ever pray. It starts out with Our Father in Heaven, the idea of the declaration and the acknowledgement of the presence of God every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every second of the day. Secondly, it goes back to the verse where it says, "Hallowed be thy name." And at that point, we talked about the second week about the person in the presence. It's one thing to have somebody who's, you know, is present. It's another thing, totally different thing, to know who that person is. And thirdly, we came to verse 10 of Matthew chapter 6, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This was last week where we talked about not just the presence, the person, but the purposes of this person. And finally, today we're landing this message in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, beginning in verse 11, talking about "Give us today our daily bread." This then talks about the provisions of this person who is present, whose purposes are sovereign over our lives. I've decided to entitle this message, "Add to the Cart," because this is the message or the part of the prayer of the Lord's Prayer that is 100% guaranteed to be answered by God. Last week, we talked about the fact that certain prayers are not going to be answered simply because it is subject to the sovereignty, the will, the dominion, the purposes, and the timing of God. But today, we want to talk about the segments of prayer which will be answered each and every time we ask for it. It begins with, "Give us today our daily bread." When you look at this short verse, it says, "Give us," doesn't say, "Give them" or "Give me," but "us." Receiving from the Lord involves not just us, but a community. There's something about God that deals with the idea of an ecosystem, that when He provides for you, it's not in any way destructive to anything around you or the people around you. It's always something that deals not just with you, but an entire ecosystem of people. Notice where the prayer says, "Give us today." And the idea of today is to know, it's one thing to know that God will give us. It's another thing to know that He will give us today. Now, when I was thinking about how to illustrate this, I brought me back to a subject that I learned about the Korean War. The Korean War was a war that began in June 1950 and lasted all the way to July 1953. Post the war, there were over 100,000 orphaned North and South Korean children. These children would be fed by the people who took care of them. But they would notice that at midnight, they would have nightmares, vicious nightmares. And then when they started talking to children, they found out that the greatest fear of the children was, "Maybe we will have bread today, but what about tomorrow?" The people who were taking care of them, the American missionaries, began to give them bread and put them in their hands and told them not to eat it, but just hold it with them at night to be assured that tomorrow there will be bread for them. This is what it means when you say, "Give us today our daily bread." We are, by all intents and purposes, maybe adults, but in the eyes of God, are little children. We need the assurance that we will have something today, and not just today, but our daily bread will be provided for. It's not a coincidence that we call ourselves breadwinners, but the fact of the matter is our ability to win bread is very limited, and we do need God. There's one story in the scriptures that tells us about this concept of God being our breadwinner. This would be the Jews in the wilderness, where they were waiting for God to provide daily bread. Literally every day He would shower them with manna from heaven because He was trying to make them assured that they could depend on Him because they were being sustained. Sustenance is what "give us our daily bread" means. It's one thing to be sustained. To be sustained means somebody is supporting you because you're incapable. Think about life-sustaining machine. When somebody's unhealthy, you need some level of sustenance. And that's what happened to the Jews in the wilderness. They were slaves previously and were incapable of providing for themselves. And thus, there was a season of time as we find in our own lives, where there are seasons of time where we need to be sustained. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." This is the first thing we need to understand when we say, "Give us today our daily bread." God, you are my sustainer, our sustainer. Secondly, when someone sustains you, He's also your provider. You're not your own provider, God is. That's an important thing to understand. Many times when the pressure of providing and sustaining is put upon us, we lose our ability to think wisely and operate with wisdom. And that's why God wants us to pray this portion of this prayer. And He guarantees us that every time we say, "Give us today our daily bread," He will sustain us and He will provide for us. Notice the verse in Deuteronomy 8:18 where it says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." Now watch this. It says, "Remember the Lord your God." This is what you're doing when you pray, "Give us today our daily bread." You're acknowledging and remembering that it is God who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Earlier, I told you about the importance of an ecosystem. And many times we think of jobs as just a way to provide money for us or a place to work in. But the fact of the matter is we need providing. To be able to work effectively, efficiently, with great success, we need air. We need water. We need food. We need sleep. We need a lot of things to be able to make things work for us. We sometimes think, "I just need a job." No. You need a sustainer. You need a provider. You need God who will give you skills, who will give you open doors, who will give you wisdom, and most of all, give you the rhythm of life to be able to sustain this thing that He wants to give you. When we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," what we're saying is, "God, you are our sustainer. God, you are our provider. And finally, God, bless our work." One of the chief ways that God provides for you is not just when you need sustaining. There's a place where you are incapable of providing for yourself, so God sustains you. But God, Bible says that God gives you the ability to produce wealth because God blesses our work. When Adam and Eve first came out in Eden, when they were in the garden, before even Eve arrived, God put Adam in the garden to work it. It says that the Bible says that God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it. That word "work" there is an interesting word. It's actually the Hebrew word abad, which literally means blessed labor. What's interesting about the Bible is one chapter later, the word "work" changes. As Adam and Eve sinned against God in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, in the second half of the verse, it says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from all the days of your life." Notice the words, "Cursed is the ground because of you," and "through painful toil." This kind of labor is ishtabon. This is what is known as painful labor, cursed labor. That's not what you want. What you want is God to bless your work. When you declare to God, "God, give us today our daily bread," you're declaring that you are our sustainer, you're our provider, and you will bless the work of our hands. Further back in Matthew 6, verse 12, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Now, notice the words, "forgive us our debts." The second half of this prayer is once again we see us. Because why? We are all guilty of some kind of debt. And we all need to be forgiven. And debts do pile up. And that's why when we pray this prayer, we're coming to God and asking, "God, forgive us our debts," or "our sins" in some translations. We mean our debts are huge, to say the least. When you think about God entrusting the earth to mankind and how we've mistreated it and in many ways have broken it, we are incapable of even paying our spiritual debts. We're even incapable of paying our relational debts. When I think about the number of times I've hurt my wife or my children in various ways, maybe accidentally or maybe not something that I really wanted to do, but these are debts that pile up. Physical debts are abuses for our body that we take for granted, or for that matter, financial debts. When we have debts, we want to go to God and say, "Lord, forgive us our debts." Now, the humans that we are indebted to might not forgive us, but one thing is for sure, God will answer 100% of our prayers when we ask Him to forgive us our debts and our sins. Notice where it says that it's when you say forgive us our debts, it talks about being enslaved. And that's really the core of the whole prayer. When you say forgive us our debts, people might not forgive you immediately, but what happens is you're freed by God from being enslaved spiritually, relationally, physically, and even financially. The process has begun. Think of debts and sin as little pebbles. Some of the sins we do to ourselves or to others can be classified as small sins, things that are found in your shoe that might be an irritant or hurting you, but could well enough hurt you or cause greater damage. But then you also have sins that are kind of rock size, that are bigger than you can imagine, things that you cannot even pay. And then there are those that are called boulders, the thing that could actually hurt people when you sin against them or you cause debts against them, something that you're incapable of paying. That's why you come to God and say, God, clean the slate for me. I'm incapable of paying my own debts. I'm incapable of making this happen, but you are. And trust me when I tell you that this kind of prayer is the kind that God answers 100% of the time. And finally, as we forgive others, the idea of prayer, give us today our daily bread, is an acknowledgement that I need God to sustain me every day and to provide for me and to bless the work of my hands. When I get to the second part of this segment of this prayer, forgive us our debts, I'm acknowledging that God, I have issues. I have debts. I have things that have enslaved me for over the years as a young man and even as an older man today. And Lord, help me be forgiven as I help you help me forgive others. When I was younger, I wasn't a very forgiving person. I wanted to hold people accountable for the errors and the sins they caused against me until I learned to pray this prayer. That because when we say this, we are actually causing the ecosystem of God to work. God has built into his ecosystem the idea of forgiveness. Matthew 6 verse 14 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." God designed it in such a way that the only way you're going to be forgiven is when you learn how to forgive others. But if you do not forgive others of their sins or their debts, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. When you examine nature, a fallen tree that's been cut, and you start thinking about the reality that that tree might never grow again, nature has designed it where there is an ability for things to be rebirthed. God designed our spiritual, relational, physical, and even our financial lives to be rebirthed. The key is after we make the mistake is to be able to be patient and to pray and wait for God's rebirth. I'm reminded of Japan in the early days after World War II. They were feverishly trying to rebuild their economy, and as a result of that, there was massive pollution all over Tokyo. The air was polluted, the water was polluted. And then after a while, they realized they were doing the wrong thing. With volition, they decided to stop throwing more waste and started cleaning up the river. And then one day, I was staying in a hotel in Japan, in Tokyo, and I saw this beautiful river that had birds and fish and people fishing on it and canals on the side streets that have been recovered. God's creation and life is able to revive itself every time we choose to stop and trust in his forgiveness. The process of God is to set us free from the things that are shackling us. And that's why he wants us to come to him in prayer and say, give us this day our daily bread, God, but also forgive us our sins. This is the kind of prayer that God answers 100% of the time, at least from my own experience. Back to verse 13 of Matthew 6, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This is the third aspect of this prayer that God also answers, in my opinion, 100% of the time when we're seriously asking it from the depths of our heart. Lead us not, it says, and that's the third part of this message. Lead us. When you're praying this prayer, you're not just asking God for your daily provisions of bread. You're not just asking his provision of forgiveness of the ecosystem that allows you to be set free. You're asking him, lead me. Lead us, God. God, be ahead of us, move before us, guide us and direct us, show us the way, escort us, if necessary, to where we should be going, steer us clear of the wrong path, and pilot our very plane into the destiny that you've ordained for us. This is what you're doing when you're saying, lead us. In our spiritual life, in our relational life, in our physical lives, and even in our financial lives. Accompany us every day, God, so that we will not fall into temptation. Lead us so that we will not fall into the clutches of the evil one, is what this prayer is about. Temptation is really the secret that the devil has to dislodging us from our destiny. This was what happened to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lost their place in the Garden of Eden simply because they allowed themselves to be tempted. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 said, he said to the woman, and this is typically what a temptation looks like. Let me just make it short, make it clear to you. Sometimes we think temptation is about drugs and alcohol and women and adultery. For the most part, temptation begins with a question. Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? If you ever wake up in the morning and you're asking, should I even pray? That's temptation. If you even question the fact, will God answer my prayer? That's temptation. When you ever think, do I even have time to be with God today? That's temptation. Most temptation is not outrightly obvious. For the most part, they're actually imperceptible. And their goal is to question the character of God, the plans of God, the timing of God. The deception is leads to our condemnation, eventually accusing God and our separation, and leads us to isolation, which is, by the way, a very not bad place to be in. Now, notice what it says in verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. And this idea of being aware of the fact that this exists is why you're crying out to God and saying, I need you to help me. I need you to deliver me. I don't just need you to lead me outside of temptation. I need you that when the time comes that I actually get ensnared or make a mistake, which you will, by the way, trust me, there's nobody who's perfect. You're going to need this prayer and say, deliver me, God. There's an interesting story in Exodus 19, verse 4, after God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, where he speaks to them and says, yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings. Deliverance. The word deliverance is defined in the 1828 dictionary as to be delivered, to be free, to release, as from restraint, to set at liberty, as to deliver from one's captivity, to rescue or to save. This is what it means to deliver, to be delivered. In Psalm 71, verse 4, in the 1828 dictionary, it actually says, oh my God, deliver me from the hand of the wicked. God wants to deliver us from the shackles that enslave us. And the key to that is to pray this prayer, because the whole point of deliverance is that he may bring us to himself. Fellowship with God is the key to this prayer. Lead us not to temptation, deliver us from the evil one. There is an evil one out there. And that's his goal. His goal is for you not to even think that he exists. But the devil is out there and his goal is to tempt us. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. That words, the thief comes to steal, is really an interesting verse because it tells you he cannot kill or destroy you until he first steals something from you. The question is, how does he steal from you? It's very simple, really. It's temptation. And temptation is the way he does it is he tempts you, he deceives you, and then he magnifies himself over God. And now, by the time he magnifies himself that he's greater than God, now you're afraid of him and you're isolated away from God. God wants us to pray this prayer by saying, no, God, you're the one I'm magnifying. I'm not succumbing to temptation, as Jesus has warned us in Matthew 26, 41, watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. When every time we pray and we pray this prayer, we can expect 100% guaranteed that God will meet us and give us his provision. And what are those provisions? First of all, our daily bread. Maybe not the kind of bread we want, maybe not French bread from Paris, but certainly our daily bread. Our breath, our energies, our sleep. This is part of our daily bread. Secondly, to be forgiven. Thirdly, to have the ability to forgive. Fourthly, to be led away from temptation and to be delivered from the evil one. This is the part of prayer that God answers 100% of the time. Now, let me summarize the last 4 weeks for all of you. It begins with Our Father in Heaven, an acknowledgement of the presence of God, that He is here every day, 24 hours a day. When we declare, "Hallowed be thy name," what we're acknowledging is not just His presence, but declaring the person of God, the God of all creation, the God who said, "I am who I am," the God who says, "I'm going to be with you, I'll take care of you, I'll watch over you, I will be your provider," that God. And thirdly, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," is an acknowledgement and declaration, "I want your sovereignty. I want you to rule over my life. I don't want what I want. I want what you want. I want you to give me what you desire." And finally, "Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins," is a declaration of God's provision. This is the way effective prayer works. It's the least boring, if not the most active type of prayer you can ever experience in your life. My hope for you is as we move on to the rest of the balance of 2021, that you would learn to experience prayer, not in its religious sense, but its real sense, acknowledging the presence, the person, the purposes, and the provision of God. As I close this segment on meditating on the Word, I want us to proclaim Jesus. I want you to look for a piece of bread and a cup as you join me in this word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that you are our inexhaustible source of everything we need. We declare that you are our sustainer and provider, our true breadwinner. Forgive us our debts, Lord, when we fall short of your standards or when we lose sight of your ways. Teach us also to be quick to forgive others, those who have wronged us. And Lord, when we have faced insurmountable obstacles or if we have fallen for the devil's schemes and traps, we pray that you would snatch us from the snare. Oh, for you, O Lord, are our mighty deliverer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.